scared of the winter, even though summer's taking her sweet time to start. It's her manipulative art, she's full of greed. She's such a tease with her neon blues and greens and sweaty palms. She tricks your heart into thinking that it's calm, but then the rain comes back like it always does.
Hi everyone, I'm Nicole and you're listening to All Access Pass, a show brought to you by the Accessibility Collective at CITR 101.9 FM. We are broadcasting live from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded land of the Musqueam people. So today we are joined by two of our lovely collective members. I think you should have heard both of them on air by now. I have Sam. Say hi, Sam.
Hi, Sam.
No, hi.
And then I have Jackie. Say hi.
Hi.
Thank you. So today's episode is we're going to be talking about something pretty prevalent. Well, two themes, really. Dealing with exam stress as a student, so taking care of your mental health, and then also SAD, or seasonal affective disorder. So seasonal affective disorder is a form of depression. So according to the Mayo Clinic, it's a type of depression that is related to the changes in the season. So it most commonly happens, so you become pretty depressed in the fall and winter months and resolves in the spring and summer. But hey, it can be swapped. You can get depressed in the spring and summer and then be fine in the fall and winter. I personally have never heard of this, but apparently it happens.
It sounds a bit far-fetched that you'd be depressed in the summer, but
yeah,
you
know.
There's no school, it's all sunny. There's
yeah,
beach.
Exactly.
Why would
you be depressed? But
the symptoms are different.
Oh, really?
The symptoms are different. So in the winter, if you have SAD, you tend to feel sad during the day, low energy and sluggish. You have difficulty concentrating. This is a really interesting one, is you have carb cravings. So you overeat and you tend to gain weight. And this is because carbs are a really quick way to gain serotonin in your brain. So that's kind of why our brain associates eating carbs with when we're sad. Because it's quick way to get serotonin. Anyway, so those are the winter symptoms. And the summer, the symptoms are typically restless, anxious, can't sleep, really jumpy. Anyways, but it's still a form of depression. But basically, you can have either. So the causes of SAD are our biological clock or our circadian rhythm, and reduced sunlight levels cause the winter onset SAD. So when you complain about the sun setting at 4:30 p.m., you are very justified in doing so, because that definitely contributes to you being a little bit sadder than normal. And the decrease in sunlight disrupts the body's internal clock. So serotonin levels drop as a result of reduced sunlight. And also your melatonin levels are disrupted, which may lead to not being able to sleep or sleeping way too much. I personally struggle with SAD, so I find that I tend to sleep way too much during the winter months. Mm-hmm. It just comes way too naturally to me. So SAD is a really tough thing to have when you're a college student, because being a college student is tough enough. There are exams happening. Mm-hmm. Sam, you're doing your master's in kinesiology.
That is correct.
So yes. You've been through the ringer of undergrad already.
I did. I made it through in the end. Yeah. One of the interesting things about grad school is that at least this semester, I actually don't have any exams.
Oh.
Although I do have a whole bunch of assignments and projects and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Would you say the workload is equal, if not more, to your undergrad?
It's different.
Okay.
So you have less classes.
Yeah.
Which I originally thought was a bonus and I was pretty happy. And
yeah.
Then I started the first reading, the day before mm-hmm. class, as one does, and I realized it was 100 pages dense material that I didn't understand every other word. I don't know. It feels more difficult, I think.
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean, that checks. It's a master's.
I wonder why, 100 pages.
Yeah. I still don't understand that reading, but that's okay.
I bet if you were a literature master's, you'd have to read 800 pages.
Oh, gosh. I was talking to someone who is actually doing
a
literature-based master's, and they're doing more than the required amount of classes, and I couldn't do it. I mad respect though, but
yeah, that's a lot. Like that's reading you really can't procrastinate.
Yeah, I try so hard every time, but you shouldn't. Do not procrastinate your readings.
Do not procrastinate your readings. Yeah. And every student ever will always procrastinate their readings.
Of course.
I constantly procrastinate on my readings.
I don't do the entire reading. I skim.
That's the secret to surviving. Yeah.
Jackie, you are in your second year at UBC, so you've already done a year of exams.
Yep.
How was your first year of exams?
It's all right. Like, I don't know how to put it. I expected it, like, to be, like, tough and all that stuff. Yeah. But, yeah.
It's never a fun time for students.
No, you're stressed 24/7.
I was, like, thinking about this. I was, like, really stressed out about my workload. And then I, like, took a step back and I was like, it's actually not even that bad compared to other years, but it's the anticipation of, like, the pain that's about to happen that is so much worse.
Yeah.
So it's really hard being a college student this close to the end of the, like, year because of exams and, like, all of a sudden it's dark at 4:30 p.m. and, like, you're just so overworked. And also, like, I can't even imagine what it would be like to be a first year not at home and you're, like, away at college and you just miss your family and you miss home. I luckily am from Vancouver, so I never really had to deal with that.
I don't know where you're from.
I mean, I used to feel like that, but I've been here for so long now that I've kind of gotten used to.
I think in your, like, first term, it's really hard.
Yeah, first term was definitely tough, but yeah.
So I think it's kind of part of the universal first year experience. I'm not an international student, but I was an out-of-province student. Mm-hmm. And so, definitely the first year, the imposter syndrome, the identity crisis, the...
It's real.
The stress of starting university. It's
I feel like nobody kind of prepares you for that. You kind of just experience it, and then everyone's like, oh, yeah, like, we all went through that. And I'm like, well, why didn't anyone warn me about it? Like,
it's part of the fun.
You could have, like, given me a heads up or something. That would have been appreciated.
Yeah.
But sad. So I experience sad, and I experience it at a pretty extreme level, I feel. I also just have regular old depression, so I like have regular old depression, and then I just tack on the other one on top. But I definitely, like, had a lot of, like, oh, like, I don't actually think I have sad. I think I'm just, like, lazy. And it was a lot of, like, gaslighting myself into being like, you just need to work harder and push yourself. But I, like, after I think 4 years, I was like, no, like, there's a trend here. There's a trend, and it's that my body has a very physical reaction around this time of year, specifically November. And I, like, everyone is obviously different, but, like, for me, it's like sleeping more, really losing interest in doing things I like, and, like, really just, like, bargaining to make more time to sleep. Like, I put other things aside to sleep more. Like, sleep is a really big thing. Sometimes I think I was a bear in another life. And I just, like, am, like, ready to hibernate.
No, I definitely feel that. I don't have sad, although I am sad a lot of the time. But I do have, you know, the good old unspicy regular depression. And I think the fatigue and the sleeping is such a... disabling or, like, debilitating part.
Yeah, no, and you feel so helpless.
Yeah,
you, like, feel like you're fighting against yourself.
Yeah, but it's tough because I'm to an extent, like, it's important to, you know, motivate yourself to get up go for a walk, get your, you know, your daily walk in, so you get a little bit of a dopamine hit. But at the same time, pushing yourself into overwork and into burnout doesn't help. And I don't, there's a line, there's a secret line, there's a balance to strike, but don't ask me where it is because I have no idea.
I think you skim over it in parts of your life and you don't realize you've skimmed it until after and you're like, well, I don't know how to navigate back to that line. I think that, like, I still have not conquered seasonal depression. I will one day with sheer determination, because that's how it works as I've learned throughout the years. But one thing I've definitely realized is that understanding that you have seasonal depression means there's a lot of pre-planning and like expecting that time of year and having a game plan.
Yeah.
So, like, understanding that, like, exams are stressful and, like, around this time of year, like, I want to sleep more and I want to put things like exercise and friends aside to, like, just be sad. And I think one thing that's really helped me, because I have mitigated the effects of seasonal affective disorder over the years as I've gotten to the ripe old age of 19, and I just have so much life experience. That's right. Mm-hmm. Take advice from me. is that you need to have a schedule and a regimen, but you don't need to stick to it perfectly.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Because I feel like when you set the expectation to be like, okay, well, I'm gonna conquer sad this year. And I'm going to do it with this, like, incredibly detailed to the 15-minute margin plan.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's not helpful, because then I, like, miss one thing and then I get so overwhelmed by missing that one thing that I don't want to try the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm just discouraged to, like, try going forward, like, the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
what's really helped with me is having, like, a guideline of what to do. Mm-hmm. And my guideline includes waking up at a certain time, being in bed by a certain time, eating 3 meals a day, mm-hmm. and doing, like, 10 minutes of meaningful movement. And that's been a really big one for me.
Mm-hmm.
10 minutes of meaningful movement means, like, 10 minutes of, like, yoga or, like, a HIIT exercise or, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a whole separate thing, because I am a massive exercise perfectionist. And if I start a workout and I cannot complete it, I'm like, well, that was a complete waste of time. And mm-hmm. it's not about completing the workout. It's about being active.
Mm-hmm.
And that being active, like, triggers those endorphins in your brain.
Yeah. I feel like there's also, like, an ex-athlete part of that, too. Because I know you were a rower,
both,
right?
Both Sam and I are ex-athletes.
Yeah, and it's like so I was a swimmer in the context of triathlon, but now when I go to the pool, I don't know what to, like, what do you do?
Yeah, like you just splash
no
around.
Workout. Splash like, I'm like, where's a coach? Who's yelling at me? Where's my, you know, like, my flutterboard or whatever?
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to get into this mindset of, like, you know what, 10 minutes a day, 20 minutes, 30 minutes of something. It doesn't have to make me sore. It doesn't have to be really hard. It's still important and meaningful.
Yeah.
Like,
it's about
a mindset shift.
Adjusting your training goals. Like, my training goals are no longer, I'm trying to hit numbers.
Yeah.
You can, but I'm not, like, that's not my primary goal anymore. Like, I do exercise for the purposes of triggering those endorphins in my brain and, like, feeling good and staying fit and taking care of my body.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, like, 10 minutes of meaningful movement, I really suggest everyone try it. I think it's like just helpful in general, but especially around this time of year, it's so easy to get holed up in homework and sit at your desk and, like, just be like, oh, well, I'm in the groove now, I'm just gonna stay here. But being able to give your body a break is really important, to give your mind that break as well.
Oh yeah.
I need to take notes, because that's me right now.
Oh yeah.
Because I lose motivation to work out whenever, like, November hits.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing, is I don't try to force myself to do work if I'm frustrated at a point. Like, if I've been doing work for 45 minutes and I'm like, okay, I'm not being productive right now, instead of forcing myself to keep doing it and follow my lead, this isn't counterintuitive. Instead of continuing to push myself, I'm like, okay, I'm going to take half an hour to do something else. I'm going to set a timer and I'm going to go, or keep an eye on the clock, and I'm going to, like, go eat a snack or, like, go for a walk or do my meaningful 10 minutes of exercise or something. And then I'm going to try and come back to work. Mm-hmm. Because it's not productive to do work when you're so frustrated with yourself and you're just going to be beating yourself up. Because your mind is telling you that you need a break.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind and body tells you when you need breaks. And I feel like the world has really just engaged itself in this hustle culture where we're just all so convinced that if you don't feel like doing something, it's because you're lazy. When in reality, it could just be your body and mind giving you signals to, like, take a break.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Breaks are, like, rest is not a reward. It is a necessity. And that is something that I'm really trying to teach myself.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. But sometimes, like whenever I try to, like distract myself for, like, a little bit, just to, like, give my brain a little break, and then I have, like, a tough time, like, getting back in a groove of, like, studying again.
Yeah.
And then I just end up sleeping.
It's really hard. It's all about, and that's another thing, is it's like trying new things. It's like trying new strategies, because if you keep doing the same study habits over and over again, they're just not, like, you can't do the same thing and expect different results. Like, you've got to try new strategies. You've got to go outside your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that having used the same study methods and have them not be super effective for the past, like, 8 years of my life. But it's all about trying new things and understanding that it may not work, but that's, like, just part of the process.
I think part of it's also figuring out, like, what works for you as an individual. So what's the, help me out here, the Pomodoro technique? It's the study first.
I've heard of that.
20, take a 5-minute break or something like that, and then repeat.
Yeah. And then, like, after, like, 3 sets, you get, like, a 15-minute break, and it, you start over again.
Yeah.
And that works for some people. It may not work for
everyone. Yeah.
I know, because that's always, like, when you Google, like, how to study, I swear that's the first thing that pops up. But I also know that 100% does not work for me. Like, I... 15, 20 minutes in, I've barely, you know, gotten focused on the project, and then 5 minutes of a break turns into 10 minutes, and I just, like, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me individually, okay, not going to do that. If it works for you, fantastic. I'm super happy for you. But I think, like, figuring out what's going to work for you and your brain and your life situation, and also it varies day to day. Some days you might need to take a 20-minute nap and set an alarm or something. Is there a thing, like, you drink coffee and then take a nap and then, like, it kicks in half an hour later? Is that an official thing?
Oh, my God. I've, like, never heard of that.
I've never heard of that.
That sounds psychopathic, but I believe that it works, and I am going to try it.
Like, I know there is, like, some kind of caffeine that, like, it's, like, delayed activation.
Oh, but actually? I don't know.
Sometimes, like, pre-workouts have them.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's the thing you're talking about. But
I don't know either. This is not scientific. Please don't quote me on this. But, I swear, like, there's, like, if you drink your coffee or take your caffeine pill or your pre-workout or whatever, and then you have, like, a short amount of time before it kicks in, like, I think, in my experience, like, that's power nap time. And then I wake up, my brain is, like, starting to work again, and I can go. Again, this is not scientifically validated. Please do your research and be healthy.
I think that, like, I see so much, like, short form content, TikTok, I'm talking about you, where it's like, feel like you can't study? Try this, like, method that works for everyone. If it doesn't work for you, you're just defective. And that's, like, not actually the message that they're spreading, but it sure frickin' feels like it. Mm-hmm. And I just think that, like, it really needs to be more universally accepted that what works for you may not work for everyone else. So what works for seemingly everyone else may not work for you. And that's fine. I really wish that in school they taught you about study methods.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they're just like, here's the information. And I was never taught, like, here are methods on how to study. Mm-hmm. Try them. Like, try this one for this test and try this one for this test. And
mm-hmm.
And it's scary because you're like, there's so much at stake. There's, like, a grade at stake. But, if you don't find out what works for you or what methods, plural, work for you, then you'll never find out.
I think that's true. I wonder, let's reform the education system here, shall we? I wonder if what would you say, grade 7, 8, 9, you know, middle school, if they should, like, actually teach kids in elementary and that middle school age how to study. Because I think when you're, like, grade 4, like, I mean... I don't know.
I feel like maybe, like, a little bit later, maybe like grade 9 or grade 10.
All right. Yeah, sure.
I think that I think it should not be its own curriculum. Like, I feel like when they have the curriculums that are, like, career ed and whatever, like, no one takes them seriously. But I just think it needs to be integrated into every class.
I mean, fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember.
And also, like, every class is very different. Like, you may need to approach math differently from social studies.
Very true.
I just think that, I mean, I have my own qualms with the education system, but that's a topic for another day. But I completely agree. Like, I really wish that these skills were kind of taught in school, because then you are suddenly in university and you're like, oh my gosh, I've, like, gotten by with, like, my one method, but now all of a sudden, like, it feels so inadequate and I don't know how to try change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember having to completely, like, change the way I studied.
That was me last year. Yeah,
100%.
It's really scary, too, because it feels like you're terrifying. A fraud.
Yeah.
It feels like you're a failure, and it feels like you've made it this far doing it wrong, and all of a sudden you've got to, like, relearn it or become a different person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like university is definitely, like, a harsh reality check.
Yeah.
Especially, like, if you're, like, going to, like, really high-achieving, like, a high-standard university, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh yeah, I'm good at that, I'm good at this, and then you're thrown into like a group of like people who are equally as good as you, yeah. and you're like, damn, I'm actually not that good at that.
Yeah, it's a really hard feeling to go from big fish, small pond, a small fish, big pond. It's a very isolating feeling.
I was about to use the same metaphor. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
fish, am I right? Anyways, yes. We are about to go to ad break, so sit on that and think about the ads.
You know what I could go for right now? Authentic flour tortillas pan-fried until golden brown.
Yum!
Or vegan taco kits filled with traditional Mexican chilies and spices.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Or how about vegan potato and chorizo taquitos?
How can I get these foods immediately?
Buy Lita's Mexican Foods.
Sounds delicious. Tell me more.
Lita's Mexican Foods is a female-managed, plant-based Mexican food innovator in BC. Their products come prepackaged and frozen at tons of local grocery stores around Metro Vancouver. Not to mention they can be cooked in under 10 minutes.
Wow, that sounds perfect for me. I've been so busy lately and dinner takes so long to make. Where can I get my hands on some Lita's Mexican Foods?
Lots of places. Whole Foods, Choices, Stong's, Vegan Supply, Donald's, and even UBC Bookstore. Hey, where are you going?
To buy some Lita's Mexican Foods. See you later.
See ya.
Do you love being caffeinated? And do you hate that greedy, soulless international conglomerates are succeeding in the cutthroat world of coffee? Sounds like local coffee roasters Trek Coffee is for you. Trek Coffee is 100% indigenous and military veteran owned and operated. Let's keep small businesses thriving. Stop by Sunshine Convenience on 4th, the Super Value on Commercial, or grocery checkout in the Nest to pick up some Trek Coffee today.
Hi again, this is Nicole, and you're listening to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. So I think I first experienced SAD when I was 12. So I was in grade 8. I have a late birthday. My birthday is next week. Funny little fact for you.
Oh no, it's during exams. You can't
It
celebrate.
Is always during
That's tough.
Exams.
That's a tough one.
Mine's during spring exams, so I feel you.
It's hard. But it's like fine. It makes it so much more rewarding when everything's done and you can like Selly, and then like everyone is like going back home for the holidays or whatever. You're like, no Selly. Yeah. Anyways. But I was 12 and I'm 19 now. So it's been 7 years of SAD. Seven long years.
Brutal.
And I think it's literally taken me until this very year to realize, oh, like, maybe I'm not lazy. Maybe I, like, there's actually something, like, physical happening in my brain. And, you know, there are a lot of ways to try and mitigate SAD. Besides, like, I feel like what we were talking about earlier in terms of scheduling and everything is, like, ways to deal with SAD, but I'm talking preventative measures, you know?
Yeah.
So there are a lot of different methods that I found online. There's, like, light therapy where you get the little light box and it shines in your face. I personally always felt really stupid doing that, but if it works for you, I'm not gonna knock it. There's psychotherapy, and then there's medication. But you know, like it's all about kind of figuring out what works for you. And I think the harsh reality is that no matter what, as long as I am in Vancouver, I will experience SAD and I just have to mitigate it to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
It's like a very sad and harsh reality. I don't want to live like this.
I feel like almost everyone who lives in Vancouver has some kind of SAD, just because
I feel like
4:30 sunsets
experiences the effects of, like, everyone might experience the effects of certain parts of SAD, like the melatonin levels being disrupted and the serotonin levels dropping, but like I think that there are a lot of other things that come up as a result of SAD, like more traditional depression symptoms that come up as a result of these things that other people don't experience. Now hear me out. I am announcing this to the world. My mom might be listening right now, and she might be horrified because I've never talked to her about this. I'm considering taking the next winter semester off to travel and be somewhere sunny and see if something changes there.
I support that. If I could go with you, I would.
I want to go to Florida, dude, or Arizona.
That sounds
let's
sick.
Go. I want to see some cacti.
Let's plan a trip to like Arizona and call it therapy.
Yeah.
But like, this is a little like I'm half joking, but I'm also half not.
Yeah.
Because like, it's just such, and I like dread November. Mm-hmm. I feel like dreading it almost makes it worse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When I'm like, oh, it's that time of year again. It's going to hurt so bad. And like, it's just such a cycle effect.
Totally.
But I'm like thinking about it. And that kind of brings me to my next point, which is the fact that I was like, I had that idea. And I was like, that's actually like not the worst idea I've ever had. And I have a lot of bad ideas. That's like not the worst idea I've ever had. And then I was like, oh my God, but that's going to delay my degree.
Mm.
And then I was like, that's just playing right back into hustle culture.
Yes.
Like, who says my degree needs to fit a certain box or a certain mold? That's not going to make me happy.
Agreed. There's no rule saying that you have to finish, you know, an undergrad degree in 4 years or
exactly.
or five.
Yeah. And And if taking this trip over winter break is something that's going to make me happy, I think I'd rather do that, you know, if that is a life-changing experience, because it very well could be. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to take that risk of, like, wow, extending my degree by another semester instead of, like, going through another hellish November where I literally felt like I was going to die.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wish, looking back, like, you know, knowing what I know now, looking back, if I restarted my degree, I would not have, like, I would have taken probably an extra year.
Did you do it in four?
I did. I did do it in four. It was they weren't necessarily 4 good years, but I did finish. But I wish I had done five.
You did a BSci in kinesiology, right?
Yeah, good memory. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, look at me go. Yeah, I mean, my degree, I was always planning on doing 5 years just because I used to be a varsity athlete and that took up so much time. And it might take more than five. And that's a very scary thing for my brain to wrap around, which feels stupid now that I vocalize it. Like, why am I so scared of a degree taking 5.5 years or 6 years?
Yeah.
Why am I so scared of it? I think I'm scared of the scrutiny. Mm. I think I'm scared of being perceived as weak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think people, at least in my perception, seem to be getting better at it these days. Like, there's less of, you know, if you don't finish in 4 years, you know, like... you're a failure. Because I know, I don't know, lots of the people I know are taking longer to do their degrees, and, like, it's fine.
Yeah.
In fact, particularly people who are eventually hoping to get into professional programs, taking longer to do your degree can raise your grades and improve your chances of getting into some of these programs. Now, please talk to your advisor or whatever.
And also, like, there are some financial barriers there, of course. True. There are a lot of, like, not everybody is as lucky to be able to consider this as an option, but I mean, like, some people also take semesters off to work, and that helps them.
Yeah, 100%.
100%.
I think I am absolutely victim to that, like, hustle culture mindset, and I am really, like, I think that's something I realized this year, and it's something I'm really trying to, like, break out of. And I'm not trying to do it by, if someone's like, oh, like, your degree took 5 years, mine, like, took four, and I'd be like, oh, congrats, like, you cool probably were depressed you, all dude. 4 years of your life. Like,
cool story,
I think if someone told me that, I would choose to be like, I'm really glad that worked for you, but I'm doing what works for me.
That's a really healthy attitude to
take. Like, just self-compassion while understanding that everyone's experience is very different. Because some people thrive under being that stimulated all the time. And that's, like, really good for them. And I'm glad they figured out something that works for them.
Yeah.
But for me personally, I really thought I thrived on being stimulated all the time. And I think to a certain extent I do.
Mm.
But, like, not during November.
Yeah. Okay. Hear me out just a little bit. Okay. So so obviously SAD is real. It is 100% real, and it needs to, and people need to figure out, like, what sort of treatment or way of managing it works for them. But if you think about the ways that mental illness or mental health diagnoses are socially constructed, I would challenge, I want to challenge you to think, is sad really that, you know, our brains, is it just that our brains, you know, are producing less serotonin because of the sun? Or does it also have to do with the fact that in our society, we're expected to be more or less evenly productive throughout the entire year? Versus if you think, like, if you think back.
Sam, you're coming in hot with the philosophical question.
This is a very deep question.
Yes, yeah, this is
I think you're going to be a better philosophy major than I am.
Oh, good Lord. Don't
my favorite philosophy question right now is, do you think your life would be better as a mini poodle?
I'm taking, well, it's
answering to that question, yes.
Yeah, exactly. No one has agreed with me so far. And I'm like, I would like thrive off of a life of pampering.
Yes.
And like being pet. Like, are you kidding me? Sit. Okay, only the people in my collective are agreeing with me. And all of my friends are like, no, Nicole, that's stupid.
I would love to be a mini poodle.
Anyways, back to Sam's point.
Okay, yes. Okay, the point being, because we're expected to be productive all year, as opposed to, you know, if you look into historical cultures, like, it was socially acceptable to kind of hibernate for the winter, you know, to hide inside and warm your hands by the fire and, you know.
Sing Christmas carols or something, bake cookies.
Something like that.
That really, you know? Oh my gosh, I just drew the craziest connection. So on the rowing team, I knew, like, literally everyone on the team had their own little weird version of hustle culture where they would, like, be on winter break and they would freak out about not working out every day.
Oh, yeah.
And they'd be like, well, my cheat day is, like, Christmas Day. And I'd be like, your body cannot be in, like, peak performance 363 days of the year.
Agreed.
Like, that's just not possible. Yeah. And that, like, absolutely reminds me of what you just said about, like, you can't expect yourself to be mentally productive all times of the year. And, like, you can't expect your body to be at peak performance all times of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Why? 100%. Like, and it's also not healthy for you. You're going to break your body. You're going to break your mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're going to break yourself down. It's not cool.
In Kin, when we talk about, like, designing programs, we talk about, I can't remember the word right now, but there's stages. So there's stages where, you know, you're building your base, then you're building your strength, and then you're building your power right before performance. And then there's rest, always after, your peak performance season, there's rest. And I think that's definitely, it's forgotten a lot of the times by athletes, definitely by some coaches. But also, you know, if you think about regular life and you apply the same kind of theories to your mental health, like, you can't be productive 24/7, and so, or pardon me, 24/7, 365.
24/7, 365. That's gonna be my next hit single.
You have to plan time to relax, whether that's during winter break or during the summer. Do you do a summer job that's really demanding, or is it one where you're like, I don't know, maybe you don't have to think so hard, and so your brain gets a break.
This is gonna be so controversial.
All right,
I want to talk about engineers.
Oh, good Lord.
I want to talk about engineers. That's right. For any engineers listening right now, I could not do what engineers currently do. A lot of my engineering friends are really in that, like, I'm taking 7 courses and I also, like, have an outside life. And I respect it so much. I personally do not think I could physically do it no matter how much I tried.
Yeah.
And then they go and then they do their crazy, like, internship over the summer. And I really think about that sometimes because I feel like there's just so much pressure to, like, constantly be on a forwards trajectory and you don't feel like you ever have a minute to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And this raises my question, because the reality of the situation is some people need to work over the summer and some people need to work pretty high paying jobs over the summer to be able to afford university. Like, I personally am very fortunate to have support from my parents for my undergrad. So I do have to work, but I don't, like, have this immense pressure of, like, I've got to, like, be able to pay for, like, this and this and this and this. How do you kind of create that time and space to take care of yourself if you also have these, like, constraints of, like, I actually do need to do this and able to survive?
That
I think it's more like that, like, this situation is, like, so extreme for them that they don't have a choice.
Yeah, and that's a really terrible,
and that's what,
there's no answer to that question.
Yeah,
there is no fix that problem. Yes. And that's a really, awful thing to stomach. And now we're going to start criticizing society.
No, I'm okay, legit though, because like that's what, you know, when universities pour money into mental health programs, as they should, don't stop. Please continue funding mental health. But they don't fund housing or food.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a house to live in, if you don't have guaranteed access to food, your mental health is going to be shit.
Yeah, like tuition increase. It's 3% for Canadians and then 5% for international.
Yeah.
That's going to be really stressful for some people.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And I don't know, like, I try not to criticize UBC too much, but at the same time, I'm like...
kind of asking for it.
No, like, I just think that I would appreciate some transparency. And I would appreciate some ideas on how to, like, potentially avoid that.
Yeah.
I really try to see the good in everyone is what I'm saying. That's why I go back to my ex so many times.
Okay, I go too far the other way, and I'm quite a pessimist.
I've noticed that, Sam. We really balance each other out.
Yeah, we need to... I'll give you a little bit of my resistance to my ex if you'll make me see the world in a you know, some rosier glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Red flags are just flags through rose-tinted glasses. It's a quote from BoJack Horseman. I've never watched the show, but
yeah,
it's true.
Yeah, but mine are too blue and everything looks red. Anyways, let's let's figure out a trade. But yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, looking at summer jobs and saying how important it is to take a break, but also acknowledging that being able to take a break like that is a privilege.
Yeah, for sure. And it's a really, like, there is no solution at hand currently. And that really, and I guess that's kind of the point of this show, is sometimes there are solutions and sometimes we're pushing for change and sometimes we're just asking bigger questions.
Yes, always.
In this little studio.
Always, always. Anytime you find yourself, criticizing a person, I think it's a good idea to take a step back and ask what systems are at play.
Oh, yeah. I just, like, got off a very passionate call with one of my coworkers from my other job, and I was like, and I hate that they do this and they do that, and he was like, have you considered that maybe it's not them, but it's the pressure of the system that's been put in place to make them act like that? And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
You still hold people accountable, though. People,
nothing we say is a hard and fast rule in this show. It's a guideline.
I also feel like there's like kind of like a racial pressure, especially like towards Asians.
Oh yeah,
Asian parents, they expect you to work every single day.
Yeah,
or like they expect you to do something productive, something that would benefit you. So like the idea of a gap year to my mom was like unfathomable to her. She was like,
gosh.
"Are you crazy? Are you stupid?
What are you going to do during that gap year? Wither?"
Exactly. Sleep? No, go do work. Study.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't end up taking a gap year, but...
Well.
So I guess I kind of conformed to it, so...
Well, that's another thing, is sometimes your parents don't give you an option, and sometimes they are your biggest financial supporters, and you need that.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Yeah.
It's like we preach things in this room, but we also understand that there are constraints into the choices that you can actually realistically make.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, we're going to go to our little PSA show promo break. We'll BRB.
You've been troubled. You've been broke. You've been hungry. No job, no money. The one you love has deserted you. That makes you blue.
Got the blues? Just want to hear some blues? Tune in every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 for Code Blue, right here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, www.citr.ca. Code Blue.
Here's how he feels about it. Blues ain't nothing but a man. Good man feeling bad, no how. That's all that is.
Hi there. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM broadcasting from UBC Vancouver campus located on the unceded ancestral and traditional lands of the Hunkaminim-speaking Musqueam people. We honor the ancestral and ongoing care for this land by the host nations. Media practices are often rooted in white gaze, and we recognize that it is our responsibility to shift our approach and move towards radical empathy. While we broadcast from UBC Vancouver campus, our listenership extends to the unceded lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations and beyond. We encourage you to check out native-land.ca, that is native-land.ca, to learn more about whose land and territory you live and work on or may be visiting. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Nicole, and you're listening to All Access Pass for CITR 101.9 FM. So we've talked a lot about a lot of different things, all of which are relevant, I swear. But
mostly the tiny, what is it, miniature poodles?
Mini poodles. God, I love mini poodles. They're so cute. I most want one so bad.
Yes. Okay. Anyways.
I'm going to do my philosophy thesis on that, mini poodles. That's right. So, I don't doubt that Jackie, Sam, and I are all very stressed right now.
Always.
What are our current methods of dealing with stress? Jackie, go. They don't have to be perfect.
I just kind of, like, force myself to,
wow, that's really not a good answer. Come on, you got to practice what you preach, man.
Nah, it's because, like I said before, like, I kind of lose motivation to work out during this time of year. And especially with exams, I go, like, I got to study. I don't have time to, like, go work out.
That's so another thing is this, I feel like you have to uphold everything at all at once at the same time. Yeah. And I'm like, well, I'm not allowed to, like, not work out and not, like, do school. And I have to be realistic and be like, hey, like, this is a really important time of year for my grades. If I let a few workouts or 2 weeks of working out, like, go out the window, my life will not end.
Like, if I have, like, absolutely zero motivation to do any kind of exercise, I just kind of, like, take a stroll.
And, like, nice, that stroll is in the more neighborhood. Than enough. That is great.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Take a little stroll. I used to take cry walks all the time. Maybe don't cry on them.
Ain't no shame in that.
Ain't no shame. I, like, saw a woman, like, sobbing gutturally on the side of the sidewalk. I was like, been there. Been there, sister. Been there. So, Jackie, taking strolls, that's your coping mechanism.
That's my, I like a nice stroll, especially at night. I feel like it's more calming.
Well, be safe, please.
thank you.
What are you looking forward to in after exams?
Christmas.
Yeah? Where do you live? In Victoria?
No. I live Westbrook right now, but your home is Hong Kong.
Okay, are you going back to Hong Kong?
I'm going to Hong Kong for a little
bit. Nice. My family was going to go to Hong Kong this Christmas, but then my dad was like, I, like, still have both my, like, Chinese and Canadian citizenship, and I don't think that's allowed, so we're not going to go. And I was like, okay.
Okay.
Anyways. Yeah. You're excited to go back to Hong Kong?
Yeah, for a little bit. And I'll come back, spend New Year's with, like, friends and stuff, go skiing.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't think it sucks, though, because my last exam is, like, on the 22nd.
Oh, that's so rough.
At 8:30 a.m.
That's actually maybe a little bit better.
So, yeah, my break is, like, significantly shorter than other people's.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
It's, like, 2 years in a row now.
That's really rough. How long do you actually get to spend in Hong Kong if you're here to the 22nd at least?
6 days.
That's so short for such a long
and day. I lose 2 days just from traveling because the time zones and stuff like that.
That was crazy.
Yeah. So, fun.
All right. Make it count.
I will. Definitely.
Yeah.
Sam.
Yes.
How are you dealing with stress?
I take naps and then ignore the stress. It's very, very productive.
Do you ever feel like you're so stressed you can't nap?
No, I can always nap.
That's a blessing.
Lucky little.
That's so lucky.
Very rarely. No, I have it's not a gift, it's a curse, is that I can fall. I'm always tired. I'm either caffeinated or sleeping. I think I think of it like I have to, like juggling. This is a bad analogy, but like I have to always choose one ball that to drop at a time.
Yeah.
So like school. So like this class, a job, volunteering, and I can't do everything. So I have to choose. Okay, this week I'm gonna let this one thing go a little bit, and so then I have to make sure I communicate about that. So like, letting people at work know, like, hey, I'm going to be a little bit behind this week. Please give me a little bit of patience. Or volunteering, like, hey, I'm not going to be able to make this shift this week. I'm really sorry. And then I'm able to kind of hopefully do the rest of everything to a reasonable standard, or even a good one if I'm lucky. And then pick up the ball that I had to drop the next week.
I like that. You're giving yourself grace there. You're holding yourself accountable and communicating.
Yeah. When I communicate, I'm still working on the communication piece.
At least you're aware of it. A lot of people aren't. Mm-hmm.
I am aware of it. And to my supervisor, if you're listening, I'm really sorry. I did send you an email, so please check your inbox. Anyways, Nicole, what about you?
Around this time of year, I become really antisocial. And I think something that's been really important for me is remembering to still have fun, and that it's really important for me personally to still have fun, because I like really get tunnel vision and it's really difficult for me to see like the bigger picture at this time of year. So like once a week I schedule social time, like fun social time, like not a study session. Like getting drunk on Granville Island. I actually was supposed to go with a friend, but then she sprained her ankle.
Oh, shoot.
And so I had to go alone to, like, this book event, and I was, like, drunk alone on Granville Island. It was so awful.
That's kind of...
It was actually really fun, but it was, like, not the kind of fun I needed to be having. It was really funny, though. It's a great story now. But scheduling one 3-hour block a week of just, like, nothing else matters right now other than you experiencing just like some happiness. And that has actually been so instrumental in my being able to break out of that tunnel vision and be like, the world's awful and I hate it here and like nothing's ever going to be okay again. It's just scheduling some fun time.
Yeah, I do something not quite the same, but similar, which is like I try at least once a week. I'm like, okay, I need to go to this thing where there are people. I need to leave my room. Because otherwise, you know, especially during finals when you're studying, it's so easy, if you're like me and order a lot of pizza, to have Domino's deliver like the pizza to the door, go grab it, and then just like live in your room and not leave it for, you know, not leave the house. My classes are online anyways, so like scheduling a time where I have to leave and I have to go be around people and be social. And even though I hate it, I know it's really good for me.
Time is really important at this time of year. And like, I used to argue with myself and be like, oh, but you can't afford to. And I'd be like, well, this you is definitely can. More productive for you.
Yeah.
And like, you're not an engineer, you definitely can't afford to.
Yeah, that's so true.
roasting myself there. But like working all the time is just like, your quality of work is not going to be as good. And you've got to remember what life is like on the other side, you know?
There is hope. December 22nd?
22nd. When do you go home, Sam?
I actually fly home on the 24th.
Oh, wow. That's so late.
Yeah. At like 7 a.m., which is killer. But that's when the
flight is. If it makes you feel any better, I arrive in Hong Kong at 6:30 a.m. on the 24th. So
oh dear.
Yeah.
And then you got to see all the family.
Yeah. And then I'm like jet lagged, tired. And then I'm going to be like, oh my God, I'm so happy. I'm definitely not tired.
Hi. I'm so happy to see you. Let's go. Yeah. Woo. Yeah. I'm lucky. It's just my parents. So I can just be like, I'm tired and grumpy and want to go to bed. And they'll be like, okay. Yeah. You know, not the same pressure as the extended family, maybe.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, I live here, so I just gotta like drive 45 minutes to have dinner with my family and then drive back home after. It's pretty nice.
You know, there are so many things that I like about Vancouver compared to Saskatoon, but the transit time, you can drive. I miss Saskatoon because it doesn't take 45 minutes to go anywhere. Like with a car, not by transit.
Yeah.
Yeah. don't know.
From Saskatoon? I thought you were from Alberta.
You just went to school in Alberta. I grew up in Saskatoon, then I'm very slowly running away from home. So Alberta, now BC. I'm thinking I might flip all the way over to the other side, try the Maritimes after this. Who knows?
That's really funny.
Like Nova Scotia?
I don't know. Maybe. Do they?
Like PEI?
What is it? Dalhousie?
Dalhousie.
What's the university over there?
Dalhousie is for Nova Scotia. And
yeah, maybe.
Acadia.
And you're saying Canada, well. You're not going down to the States.
The States scare me.
That's fair. We like celebrated American Thanksgiving because my cousin's from, he lives in Florida.
Mm.
I was like, what a rough state to hang out in.
My condolences.
Me too.
Yeah. Although they do get nice sunlight.
They have a lot of geckos and armadillos.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Me neither.
But for those of us who don't live in Florida, the UBC library, you can get light therapy lamps there, which is one of the treatments that, you know, Nicole had been talking about for
SED. Do you rent them?
What?
Do you rent them?
I think so. The sign up sheet. Yeah. So you sign up at the library and then you can use it for 20 to 30 minutes a day, I think. Yeah. I've never tried it. I don't know. Someone try it and then go on our Instagram or social media and tell us if it works. I'm curious, I think, but I don't know. Just like sitting with my face in a lamp.
I don't think you sit with your face, but you do homework while it shines on your face.
Oh, I was picturing just like sitting somewhere and just like putting your face down
you
and
like
bathing.
You
in
like
the
have
light.
It while you like eat lunch or something.
That makes a lot more sense.
I feel like doing homework with the lamps like kind of counterintuitive. I feel like.
Yeah, because it's supposed to make you feel
better. Yeah, exactly.
Better.
And you're doing homework.
Oh,
but then it neutralizes.
Does it though? So,
come on, guys. I do math.
Yeah.
One minus one is zero. Wait. A minus B is C.
What?
Wait.
Why are we doing math?
I went into qualitative research for a reason, guys. Please stop.
That's super fair. Yeah, we all do like qualitative. None of us are super into numbers, hey?
Yeah, I mean,
I have to do a psych 208, which is I think it's qualitative.
I hated that course.
I think, but it's like something statistics, basically.
208 was awful.
I had to take stats. I survived. Don't ask me to do it again, though.
One of my friends is doing a psych course, and he's writing a paper on how Voldemort displays symptoms of antisocial disorder.
That sounds fun.
Yeah,
that sounds like a fun paper to write. I'm not gonna lie.
I like have to edit it for him later.
That sounds fun. I don't know if I've written any. No, Ken typically doesn't get to.
They don't
do
fun
with
things.
Harry Potter.
They don't do fun things in there.
No.
Yeah, go work out
all the time.
7 a.m. workouts.
Anyways, take care of yourselves. Stay safe out there. It's brutal out here.
There's light at the end of the tunnel, December 22nd. We can do it.
Always.
Try new things, you know? If the worst thing that could happen is that it fails and you get to try another thing. Like, your life will not end by trying a new study method. Your life will not end by going for a 10-minute walk. Your life will not end by trying a little light lamp from the UBC library.
Yeah.
We encourage you to try new things and be compassionate with yourselves.
Get out of your comfort zones.
It's scary.
You don't grow unless you get out there. So
very true. It's and remember scary. To take breaks and in between going out of your comfort zone, take breaks, recharge, and try again.
Yeah.
We got this, guys.
Anyways, thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of All Access Pass. Next week we've got a super fun episode. Hey. With the Disabilities United Club.
Yeah.
And it's going to be talking about pre-recorded lectures. And I actually had such a great time recording that episode. I'm really stoked for that one.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Stay tuned. Bye, friends.